This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. Again, I trust the program will encourage you and challenge you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. That's bdcministries, all one word, .com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. This program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we're continuing our journey through the Bible, and we've gotten into the epistles, which I consider the backbone of all Bible interpretation. Now, if you have missed out on some of the material I've given on Bible interpretation, if you go to my website, there is a summary on my website of much of the material that I've given to you here. It's one of the links on that website. But notice that we've gone through the Old Testament, which we've said has to do with a physical people who have a physical land and who have physical promises. But we're now in the New Testament where we're dealing with a spiritual people, with a spiritual land, with spiritual promises. The Old Testament is illustrative and the New Testament is doctrinal. We know that as we go into an understanding of the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's the apostles who have given us these epistles that help us make those, understand those connections and those relationships, because we don't live under the law, but yet the law is illustrative with regard to our relationship with the Lord. So now we've come in our journey through the Bible to a little book by the name of Philemon. It's a prison epistle. It was written by Paul to Philemon while he was in prison. There seems to be some question as to which imprisonment Paul was involved in when he wrote this particular epistle. But nevertheless, it is a prison epistle, and it was written to Philemon. This prison epistle was not intended to be read publicly like the other prison epistles were, like Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. But those would have been shared with other congregations, other assemblies. But this one was not to be shared. It was simply an epistle trying to bring a reconciliation between a runaway slave and his master. So when we look at this epistle, there's three individuals that are particularly important in the epistle. The first one would be Paul, who is in prison. As I've said, it's which imprisonment is not quite clear, but it may very well have been house arrest that is mentioned at the end of the Acts of the Apostle. Philemon is the master or slave owner, probably living in Colossae, because it appears that Paul wants to visit Colossae, and when he visits Colossae, he wants to stay with Philemon. But he's the master or the slave owner. And then there is the man by the name of Onesimus, the runaway slave. And I'm going to read to you from Philemon chapter 1, starting at verse 10. Paul says, "I appeal to you," that is, he's appealing to Philemon, "for my son Onesimus." And he uses that term son because Onesimus apparently was saved when he came and found Paul in prison. "So I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten." Notice, again, we're dealing with that idea of a new birth. "Whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back, You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily. So as we look at this epistle, we can see that Onesimus has run away from his master. If you read the whole story or the whole epistle, it may very well be that Onesimus also stole from his master. But in verse 12, Paul asks that Philemon receive Onesimus kindly. Now, the usual penalty for an escaped slave was death or branding with a hot iron to mark him as a fugitive. But in this case, Paul is asking Philemon to receive him kindly. Now, it appears that Paul had seen Philemon saved, and now his servant somehow finds Paul in prison. As I said, it may have been house arrest, and the slave is also saved. Now, it's my personal opinion, while I can't prove this, that I think Onesimus wanted the same thing his master had and went to the man who had led his master to the Lord. I don't think this was a chance meeting between Onesimus and Paul. But what I find interesting in the epistle is the bond that Paul has with Philemon and the bond Paul has with Onesimus. It's interesting to me that oftentimes in our day, people will hear the gospel through a particular preacher, but even though they hear the gospel and maybe even come to know the Lord, they get saved, they repent and believe the gospel, even though they get saved, they don't seem to have the bond with the preacher that they ought to have. It seems like in a natural way, a father or a mother has a bond to their child. And in a spiritual way, that same thing ought to happen. And while the father or the mother might want to show love to the child, we know in our day many children do not respond to the love of their parents. But in this particular case, the bond was there. And it was because of that bond that Paul was able to write this letter. And he knows what the penalty for a runaway slave is. And he knows that in sending him back to Philemon, he could be sending Onesimus back to his death. But he has confidence that that won't happen because of his relationship with the slave master. And essentially what I think is happening here is Paul is offering to do for Onesimus what the Lord has done for us. And I think that's the lesson that we would get in this epistle. What has the Lord done for us? Well, we are slaves to sin, and the Lord wants us to be freed from that. When I say slaves to sin, I'm not saying that we all are constantly doing bad things, but by nature, we tend to question our relationship with God. We question who God is. We question our dependence upon God, and we question our obedience to Him. We want to do our own thing. We want to be our own person. But when we find out that we have sinned, that is, we have violated the commands of God, we have sinned, we have not worshiped God, we've worshiped self or men or pagan idols. When we realize that and we turn away from that sin and in simple trusting faith come to the Lord, we are forgiven. And once we are forgiven, then God is able to be reconciled to us. That is, forgiveness, first of all, is offered, but once forgiveness is obtained, then it'd be a reconciliation between the two parties that were offended. And in this particular case, there needs to be a reconciliation between Onesimus and Philemon. But Paul doesn't want to send Onesimus back without, first of all, setting the stage for why he's sending him back, and he wants to make sure Onesimus realizes that he's sending back a different person than the person that left. The person that left was self-willed. The person that's coming back is now a person who is submitting to the will of the Lord, submitting to the will of the Lord's apostle, the guidance that Paul has given to him. And so he's coming back as a different person. We're born again when we're saved. We are given a new life in Christ. And that doesn't mean we're sinless, but it does mean that we should have a conscience about sin. And so Onesimus is going to go back and try to make this right. And if Philemon was not a saved man, it probably could be the death a sentence for Onesimus, but Paul is convinced that it need not be the death sentence for Onesimus, but in fact, he's sending this man back as a different person who will now be profitable to Philemon, whereas before he was an unprofitable servant. Now he'll be profitable. And that's like us. Before we're saved, we may do a lot of good works. We may try to please God in a lot of different ways, but there are people who in one way or another try to please God, and God says, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." But they were people who had eaten and drunk in his presence and taught in his street and in his name done many wonderful works. You can read about it in Luke 13. But they were self-willed. They were trying to earn their way to heaven. They were not recognizing that they had done wrong. They were sinners in need of a Savior. And so instead of coming to the Lord as a sinner and being forgiven, they were offering their good works to the Lord and thinking that God owed them a place in heaven. God owes nobody a place in heaven, but he wants us all to be there. He tells us that he wants people to believe, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And folks, I'm glad that that's the case. And once we come to Christ, Christ can do for us in our relationship with God. He can do for us what Paul is doing for Onesimus. And there can be a reconciliation. And you don't know what a relief it is to know that you're reconciled to God, that the war is over, that there's peace between you and God, and that he doesn't hold your sin against you. Now, Paul's saying in this epistle that if Onesimus has taken anything or has wronged Philemon in any way, lay that to Paul's account. Well, the Lord is saying, if you as a sinner have wronged God in any way, lay that to my account. I died for that sin at the cross of Calvary. He was wounded. Isaiah 53 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the sin of us all. And so the Lord has borne the punishment we deserved and is willing to make payment where we should have made payment. And Paul is saying that he was willing to do the same for Onesimus. So because of God's salvation, his mercy and his grace, Philemon is saved. Onesimus is saved. And now Philemon and Onesimus, who could very well have been enemies and unreconcilable, in now they're going to come back together, and it's going to allow Onesimus to come back as a profitable servant, as a new man in Christ, rather than as an unprofitable servant. And if we have come to know the Lord, I hope that we are profitable to the Lord and that he has encouraged us to be useful to him, to do like Paul did on the Damascus Road and to say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" But first, we need the reconciliation that the Lord is offering through his death on the cross. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless all who have listened. Guide our leaders during this pandemic and preserve our listeners from the disease. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.